George Carlin, I'm not sure if you're aware of him or not. If you're not, you're maybe better not to be. But George Carlin said this, the paradox of our time in history is that although we have taller buildings, we have shorter tempers. We have wider roads, but narrower viewpoints. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. We have more conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense. More knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, yet more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We have learned how to make a living, but not a life. We have added years to life, but not life to years. We conquered outer space, but not inner space. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We've learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less and less. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion, big men and small character, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorce, fancier houses, but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable nappies, throw-away morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. It's not very poignant. I think his words are pretty close to how we should feel about the world around us. And I like that last line particularly, and it's that I want to kind of think about as we link into Ecclesiastes chapter 12 here this morning. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. I can't help thinking that the writer in Ecclesiastes would say amen to those last words. Because whenever he looked at the world around him, did he not say, all is vanity, or in the New International Version you have it, all is meaningless. No matter what we do, it is empty. It was the writer to Ecclesiastes who said there is nothing new under the sun. Anything that you see has been done before. Anything you have experienced has been experienced by someone else before you. There is nothing new under the sun. All is vanity. What he says is that life here is brief, and sadly, it is often wasted. Pleasures here in this life are fleeting, and very soon what we do here will be forgotten. Probably whenever you were studying history in school, you heard about wars that went on prior to the First World War, but today we don't tend to remember all of those wars. And I wonder how long it will be until the wars that we have remembered today will no longer be remembered. Days when the First World War, the Second World War, the Falklands conflict, the Gulf War, what went on here in Ulster, a day whenever those will no longer be remembered by subsequent generations. That's why the teacher here in Ecclesiastes encourages us to base our lives on something more sure and more solid. And so in the time left to me this morning, I want us to see two things that stand out in this particular passage today. And if you have your Bible there, please do turn again with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And the page again is 679 in your pew Bibles. The first part of what I'm going to say, I'll warn you, is really depressing. All right, I just have to get that health warning out at the very start. But the second half is somewhat more positive. So firstly, we're going to look at a shallow life, and then we're going to look at a satisfied life. So we're going to look, first of all, at a shallow life. If my thing will move on. Typical. A young university graduate was crossing a large river in a barge one day. And he was pretty full of himself and all of the knowledge. And the man who was driving the barge was quite an elderly man. And so the young fellow, being puffed up with all of his knowledge, said to the old man, he says, "I want to ask you three questions." And he says, "Everything will depend on how you answer those questions." So the first question the young man asked was this. He says, "Do you know anything about physics?" "No," replied the old man. "Well," the young man said, "in that case," he says, "a third of your life has been wasted." He says, "I want to ask you the second question." He says, "Do you know anything about philosophy?" "No," replied the elderly gentleman. "Well," says the young man, "in that case, another third of your life has been wasted." Feeling fairly full of himself, he went on to his third question. He says, "Tell me, sir," he says, "do you know anything about social sciences?" The man says, "No." "Well," he says, "then another third of your life has been wasted." And just as he said that, the barge hit a large object and began to sink to the bottom of the river. The two of them now floundering on the top of the water, the old man said to the young man, "Tell me this, young fellow," he says, "do you know anything about swimming?" The young fellow says, "No." And the man says, "Well, I'll tell you what," he says, "the whole of your life has been wasted." And I have to warn you, and this is where I could get myself into a lot of bother, but I have to warn you that if you're getting on in years, that if you haven't been trusting in Jesus Christ, and you're still not trusting in Him either whenever Jesus returns or your life will come to an end, let me warn you that the whole of your life has been wasted. You may have done many wonderful things in your life. You may have achieved many things in the world's eyes. But if you die without Christ, sadly, your life has been wasted. So what does the writer in Ecclesiastes have to tell us about life here? Well, the first thing he tells us is that life is short. Life is short. Most of the commentators agree that the words that are written here before, I think it's verse 2, "before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain," that these words refer to the fading of mental powers of an individual as he or she grows older. For those of you who are growing older, would you acknowledge that your mental powers are a little bit in decline? Would you want to acknowledge that? Seriously, some of you are shaking your heads. I don't believe you. Because I have found it to be true. I've come here now and I've discovered it's much harder to remember names at the age of 25 than it was whenever I don't know what you're laughing at, when I was 10. I've discovered that as I get older, these things are much harder to do. And I've come across those who are maturing nicely. I have to be careful how I put things. I've come across those who are maturing nicely, and they say to me, "You know, I struggle to do the things that I used to do." I've seen those who've had to buy new things. Maybe their old TV blew up, and they went out to get a new TV, and they say, "Well, you know, I've no idea how to work this blooming thing. There's so many buttons on this control, and above and beyond that, there's so many channels, and I don't know how on earth I'm going to connect my old video recorder into it." And they really struggle. You see, you young ones don't even know what a video recorder is. And they say, "Do you know, I think that happens to us all. As we get older, we struggle with these things." You see, whenever you're young, life seems to stretch out endlessly before you. It seems that you will never approach old age. But let me tell you, as you get a little older, you will discover that you start moving down that hill of life faster and faster, and the years move by quicker than you could ever possibly imagine. Am I right, those who are a little bit older? Am I right? Yeah. I'm glad I'm not the only one who's experiencing that. Someone once said, just about the time your face clears up, your mind begins to go. And quite honestly, it doesn't seem like very long since I had a target in the mirror. And you can work out what that means yourselves. But this is how brief life appears. They say that there are three things that reveal the onset of old age. The first one is losing the memory, and I can't remember what the other two are. In all seriousness, let's look at what this passage has to say about it. Look at verse 2. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. Now, this is referring to almost a second childhood. It refers to a senility that comes about in old age. And as a child, our lives very much revolve around three very simple things. They revolve around eating and sleeping and going to the bathroom. And as we get older, our lives revolve around exactly the same three things: eating and sleeping and going to the bathroom. And again in Scripture, we're reminded of the brevity of life. You know, whenever you're young, you think that you're going to live forever. You think that you're never going to be as old as your parents or your grandparents or the people who live down the road from you. And then a second or two years later, and that's what it feels like, you're in your twilight years. And yet I want to say this to you, that if you live to be 60, 70, 80, or 90 years old, yet that term of life is so brief compared to the years of eternity. You see, eternity isn't just 80 years or 800 years or 8,000 years, but it goes on forever and ever and ever. Our mortal minds really struggle to grasp that concept. And all of us will exist forever and ever. Some will exist in heaven. Others will exist in hell, where they will experience eternal death. The reality is that the time we have in this world is about getting ready for the next. Life is short, says the writer in Ecclesiastes. But he also says something else about life. He says, life is sad, and it will move on. No, it won't. Life is sad. Now, look, it almost seems as though the writer in Ecclesiastes is writing in a different language here. Turn with me again to verse 3. You'll see what I mean. When the keepers of the house tremble, when the strong men stoop and the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim. What is he talking about here? Well, let me do a little bit of translating for you and try to put it into, I was going to say good O'Hockle English, but I don't know if those two words can go together, but I'm going to try and interpret it for you in a Belfast way at least, and hopefully you'll be able to follow me. He says here about the day when the keepers of the house tremble. What's he talking about when he talks about the keepers of the house? Well, if someone were to break into your house, you would probably use your arms and your hands to defend you and to eject them from your house. And yet the reality is, as we get older, our arms and our hands get weaker. I'm going to ask you, those who are my length in the tooth and a little longer, do any of you have sore arms and hands? Yeah. I have sore thumbs. They're cracker. You have no idea. See, when I play the piano for about 5 minutes, my thumbs are aching. I'm told, it's arthritis, by the way, and I'm told that as I get older, the pain will go, but I'll have much less movement in my thumbs. Isn't that something to look forward to? And I know others, and they have experienced a lot of pain in their hands and in their arms. And they're no longer able to do the things that once they did. Well, the writer in Ecclesiastes understands that. And he says this is what happens as we get older. He says the keepers of the house tremble. And then he goes on and he talks about the strong men being bent. And he's talking about our legs. Now, as we get older, we discover that less distance does us. We don't walk or run quite as far as we used to. And when we go the short distance, we discover that our legs are a little bit like jelly. Have any of you discovered that? See, a lot of you don't want to admit to it. But you know what it's like if you have to do a wee bit of running. And years ago, you would have found it wee buns, but now it's so much more difficult. Well, here he says, the strong men are bent. Old people take short steps. They struggle to walk. It has been well said that a sign of the onset of old age is when your knees buckle, but your belt won't anymore. And then we'll see if you can work out the next one. He says, the grinders cease because they are few. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Teeth. Absolutely right. The grinders cease because they are few. Meal times are prolonged because it is an art to manage to get the piece of food in your mouth lined up with the few teeth that you have remaining. And then verse 4 says that the meal times become quiet. And that's because it gets to the stage where it's gum on gum. I used to visit my great aunt along with my mom, and whenever we would go, my mom would bring her soft jellies. You know the type I'm talking about? I don't know whether you still get them. But she used to bring soft jellies because it was gum on gum with my Auntie Florrie. It took her about half an hour to take one of those soft jellies, mind you. And here we have this wonderful picture for us of how it is whenever we start to lose the teeth. And then it says, those that look through the windows are dimmed. What do you think that's referring to? Eyesight. That is right. The windows are the eyes. It's clearly referring to fading eyesight as old age approaches. Cataracts form. Various eye problems develop, like the trombone arm disease. Does anybody have that? Yeah, I have that. When I go into the supermarket, this is what I'm doing. I do not know why it is, but they seem to have made type so much smaller these days than it used to be. And I think they're playing a cruel joke on us all. Now, what is the writer in Ecclesiastes saying? Well, he's saying is we're getting older. He says, one rises up at the voice of a bird. It's characteristic of us as we get older that we sleep less. We're awakened by the song of the birds in the morning. We never noticed them whenever we were young. Or if there's something walks over a stick out in the garden, we waken up and we can't get back to sleep again. Anybody else experience that? Maybe it's just a bad conscience on my part, but I find I sleep an awful lot less now, at least when I should be sleeping, than I used to do. When it comes to lunchtime, I could sleep all the way through, no problem. But at night, no, I don't sleep as much as I used to do. Then it goes on, and I think the translation in the New King James or King James is better here. All the daughters of song are brought low. What's that talking about? It's talking about your hearing. You know, I say this to you young people here just so that you understand. Elderly folk think that you have no manners. And it's because they think that you mumble. Have you ever heard the elderly folk say, why do the young people mumble these days? You know, they're always mumbling. I can't hear a word that they're saying. It's nothing to do with the way that you talk, young people, but it's to do with the fact that they don't hear the same that they used to. In fact, whenever I go to visit a lot of them, I'm thankful that the Lord has given me a voice like a corncrake that everybody can hear me. Because it is one of those things that happens. Now, why? Why is the writer here going on about all of this? What he's saying is that whenever you have arms that are going weak, hands that are getting painful, whenever you have legs that are bending, whenever you have eyesight that's going and hearing that's going and teeth that are disappearing, he says, all of this is a sign that you're getting older and that you're going to die. Told you this would be depressing. But that's why we experience it. And then we read, life is scary. Life is scary. It says in verse 5, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, the desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Really cheerful stuff, isn't it? But as we get older, we begin to fear our steps. We're afraid of the cracks in the pavement. We're afraid to mount the stairs. We're afraid of fellas wearing hoodies in the street. We're frightened of things that are going on. Terrors rise as we walk down the street these days. Older people tend to stay in. They don't want to drive out at night because they're afraid of things in the way. And then we're told the almond tree blossoms. Now, what's that talking about? Well, when we were young, we had a particular color of hair. But as we get older, the almond tree blossoms. The brown hair, black hair, blonde hair goes white. And then it becomes transparent. And you can work that bit out for yourself too. All of this is pretty scary regarding the future. And it's not much to be looked forward to. Modern technology seeks to help. It gives us wigs, laser eye surgery, new hips, knees, ankles, transplanted heart, liver and kidneys, glasses, false teeth, hearing aids. It must be a real sight watching some of you getting ready for bed at night. The amount of stuff you have to take out before you get into bed. And probably by the time you get in, it's time to get out again. And really, we haven't moved terribly far from where we were in the days of the writer here in Ecclesiastes. And even though we have devised ways of disguising old age, it still has a tendency to creep up on us, doesn't it? Aren't I right? Yeah. If you think that's depressing, wait for the next bit. Describes ways to die. Talks about the silver cord being severed. That's the spinal cord. Talks about the golden bowl being broken, talking about the skull being crushed. Talks about the pitcher being shattered. That's somebody having a heart attack. The wheel being broken refers to the circulation of blood. And the result is, the writer in Ecclesiastes says, as we get older, the body crumbles and decays and returns to dust. From dust you have come, and to dust you will return. Now, why am I making a big thing of this? For this reason, that the greatest futility of life is someone who has not found the reason for living. Did you get that? The greatest futility of life is for someone who has not discovered the reason for living. Because here's the thing, that whilst my body decays more and more each day, and I promise you it is, whilst my body decays more and more each day, my soul is being refreshed more and more each day. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I know that I'm ready for the day whenever my heart stops beating, whenever my lungs stop breathing. And that doesn't frighten me, not in the slightest. In fact, I would be delighted when it comes, because it means I will be absent from this decaying body and I will be at home with my Lord, which is better by far. Are you with me? Are you with me? Do you know that? Is that what you have to look forward to? If not, then you need to come and trust in Jesus, because it is such a waste to die without learning the secret of true existence. A shallow life. But then I want you to see in the last few minutes that the writer here also speaks about a satisfied life. Someone said, I have never met a soul who has set out to satisfy the Lord and has not been satisfied himself. Let me say that again. I have never met a soul who has set out to satisfy the Lord and has not been satisfied himself. And the writer here gives us the secret to a truly satisfied life. How do we see this? Will we see a satisfied life in the relevance of God within our lives? Today is Remembrance Sunday, and we're told here in verse 1 that the most important thing is to remember. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. It is clear from this passage that it is difficult to find the meaning to life when you are old. That's what it says. So we're told to trust in Jesus Christ when we are still young. And let me tell you, in 20 years in ministry, having buried over 150 people, do you know how many deathbed conversions I've had? 3 or 4. You see, there's a lot of people, and they think, you know, I can put this off until I'm older. I know that I need to ask Jesus to save me from my sins, but I can wait until I'm older, and I'll deal with it whenever I've lived my life, whenever I've done everything that I wanted to do in my life, then I'll give my life to Jesus Christ. No, you're talking nonsense if that's the way you think. 95% of all Christians come to know Jesus Christ before they're 50. Most of those before they're 30. It's something to consider seriously when you are young. So I say to you, young folk today, don't put this decision off. Don't live your life without Jesus Christ, because the likelihood is that when you get older, you will have become harder and harder in your thinking, and you will die rejecting Jesus. What a waste. Remembering God here, as it's referred to, doesn't merely mean thinking about Him once in a while. It means to relate to Him, to walk with Him, to discover Him, to learn to know God while you are young. There's an excellent reason given for this. Says it's because evil days are coming. Old age is setting in. And one of the characteristics of old age is that we lose our ability to change and to learn new things. So, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. If God is speaking to you today, do not reject Him. Do not walk away without Jesus as your Savior. The relevance of God, He is so relevant to your life, and this is how we find meaning in life. But then we also see the need of respect for God. Verse 13, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. You know, whenever I visit elderly folk, and I love visiting elderly folk because there's so much to learn from them, but when I visit elderly folk, they very often hearken back to the old days whenever they say, you know, back then the police were respected, authorities were respected, and even ministers were respected. I've never known the last one to happen. But what is more sad than even that is to see the disrespect there is for God today. Do you know, I hate to hear God referred to as the man up above, or to hear Him referred to as the big guy in the sky. I think that's so disrespectful. You see, it is God who made us. He is God Almighty. And if you do not bow the knee humbly before Him today, when there is still time, you will be forced to bow the knee before Him in the day of judgment. And on that day, if you do not hear Him say the words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest, you will hear instead the words, depart from me, for I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. So we need to show right reverential fear for God. Now, someone has set up the word fear as an acrostic. And they suggest this, the F stands for faith in God's existence. The E stands for an experience of His grace. And I want to ask you today, have you experienced God's grace? Have you? If you've come to Jesus Christ and trusted in Him for salvation, then you've experienced His grace. But if you haven't experienced it yet, you can have it before you leave here. The A stands for awe at His majesty. And we do a great disservice to God if we try to reduce our God to nothing other than like Santa Claus or a loving, caring grandfather. We do God a great disservice if we start to visualize Him in that way. He is far above all of that. And we need to be struck by God's awe. And the R is to resolve to keep His commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. Oh, it is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is what Christianity is about. It's about a relationship. Once we've entered into that relationship, we will want to do what God wants us to do and live in a way that pleases Him. Respect for God. And lastly, reward from God. You know, we can't hide from God. He is evident in all our life. He knows all that's going on. He knows every thought of the heart, every word of the mouth. He knows the motives that we seek to hide from others. And we need to understand that one day we will all be brought before Him. Scriptures remind that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Only those who are saved, born again, who've trusted in Jesus for salvation, only they will enter into heaven. What's waiting for you? Where will you be on that day? There is no greater joy in this life than to know that we are ready for the next. Today is about remembering. And here the writer in Ecclesiastes says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Are you remembering Him today? Are you following Him? Are you loving Him? If not, why not even where you sit in your pew right now, simply bow your head and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you? If you're not sure what to do, or if you have questions about this, come and search me down afterwards or speak to any of the believers here. But don't go away without those questions answered. And don't put it off if the Lord is speaking to you today. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this timely word from the Scriptures. And on a day where we are remembering, we realize that the best thing to remember is to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. We pray today for any who do not know Jesus as their Savior. We ask, Lord, that You would speak to them. We ask, Heavenly Father, that right now, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that You would savingly draw them to Yourself, that You would show them that they cannot go another moment without Jesus as their Savior. Lord, we think of those words of the publican where he cried out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And may there be those here this day who will call out those words and who will plead with You to have mercy upon their never-dying souls. Lord, we just ask today that man would not have been seen in anything that has happened here today, but that our God alone would be honored and glorified. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.